Let me guess, you hated the game last night?
I've got a confession to make right out of the gate.
You turned it off.
I didn't watch a second of the third period.
Yeah?
Not 1 second. Gone. See you later. Awful.
It was a terrible game.
Horrible game.
We had to talk about it on air.
What was entertaining about that game?
Crosby putting on a clinic, Malkin, Kessel. They played awesome.
Why did the Preds even show up? That was a Pittsburgh practice. Great, they put on a clinic.
Pittsburgh dummied him. They did.
The Preds embarrassed themselves.
Watch the third period?
Not 1 second of the third. Completely irrelevant
on
to me.
On principle or just because you had had enough?
Both.
What did you watch?
I'm back into Entourage right now.
Oh, God. Is there a new show?
No, I went back and I watched. I'm on season two. I've seen it before, but I don't know what triggered that. Earlier in the week, I was like, I'm going to get into Entourage again.
Interesting.
And so, yeah, I'm watching that and I'm flipping around. No interest in the third period. No. What did I miss? Did I miss anything? Tell me.
You didn't.
No, you didn't miss
it. But I thought it was awesome just watching all those great players have those great nights. And I was watching it and I was thinking, is Hayes loving this or hating it?
No, he hated it. You could tell. You apparently hated it. You tweeted out right away, and you weren't wrong. I thought Craig and I were sitting there. I mean, we had to talk about it. And you get the storylines. You're right. I think Sidney Crosby was the best player on the planet, which is no problem there.
Let me stop you there, though. When do the cops release him?
Oh, I know. That's embarrassing.
When does he get interrogated? When does PK get out of the hospital?
It's embarrassing. I've never been more
embarrassed for our colleagues, the overreaction to Sid and PK.
I know. Like it's
what? That was it's nothing.
Game, it's game five of the playoffs.
It was nothing.
And he's like, they're like, he repeatedly smashed his head on the ice.
No,
like,
Labby said
it.
That. He was like, he smashed our guy in the head. Like, he smashed his head into the ice 10 times.
It's embarrassing the way people are reacting. But I saw some people peddling suspension for
overreact. But do you know who those people are? Morons on Twitter. That's what it is.
Well,
Were there any credible people that, like, honestly, and you're not going to point them out, but there was nobody that I saw that had any credit as far as knowledge in the game.
I can't believe the reaction to that. I would not have even paid attention to it if people weren't buzzing about it. It was nothing. That happens every game. The old, oops, I'm trying to get up, I just can't routine.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, like, punching him in the head. His glove never moved his helmet. He just was pushing him around.
No, it was a repeat.
It was nothing.
No, it was a violent, violent play that smashed his head off the ice. You know why it is? It's because it's PK. That's why.
And Sid, because people hate on Sid.
People hate on... Listen, that was a... And they're like, and the ref was 5 feet away. Yeah, going, you two idiots, let's go.
Exactly.
I follow one person from Nashville. She's a Preds fan. And then I started going through all the Nashville tweets about what happened, and they were going nuts.
They were like,
what kind of league is this? This guy has concussion problems, and he's smashing our guy's head.
This is what our game has come to.
100%. It was embarrassing.
Absolutely embarrassing that this is actually a conversation people are having.
Yeah.
How can we really take Sid seriously now? Look what he did to poor PK. I can't believe he would do that to poor PK.
Yeah, I know.
How will PK survive? I don't know if he can play in game six. Right. I'm not sure he should. His feelings are hurt. Sid was laying on him and pushing him.
For Sid, though, like, don't say you didn't mean to throw the water bottle. You threw the water bottle.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how else to say that. Like, Nobody got hurt. It doesn't matter, but you actually threw the water bottle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing. What is...
He threw the water bottle.
He threw it.
There's no dancing around
it. But, like, people were acting like that was a criminal offense, too.
That's the second element of it. It's like, okay, you actually did throw the water bottle, but nobody got hurt. It didn't hit anybody. It's no problem, but you actually threw it.
I think he might get fined for that.
Yeah.
Because you can't throw stuff on the ice.
No.
And I love when the ref was coming back to the bench
and he was like, I didn't mean to do... What are you talking about?
That's because he knew he had done something wrong.
He tried to get out in front of it. That's what he did.
Yeah, but what does that even mean? I didn't mean to throw that water bottle that ended up on the ice. I didn't mean to do that. What the hell does that mean?
Well, I'm sure he's thinking, uh-oh, I could be in trouble here. We've all been in that situation where you do something and then immediately you're like uh-oh.
Yeah, I agree.
See, I'm the opposite. I'll be like, I did that, so
You would have gone over there and said, I openly threw that on the ice. Why would you do that?
Dude, whenever I get myself into trouble, and you know very well that it's happened numerous times, I'll be the first to just say, you got me. Over.
Yeah. It just.
So you're saying get out in front of it and just admit that you did it, even though I don't think the ref would have done anything, even if Sid did go over there. Like, unless they call it in the moment.
Right.
What are you going to do? I'm not sure what you're doing in retrospect.
Agree. It's a fine. Send him a $5,000 fine. He'll pull it out of his couch cushions, and you move on with life. Like, I was trying to think of it. Even if he did it and said, I did that, it's not a one-game suspension.
No, of course not.
Like, what is it?
Nothing that happened last night was suspendable.
So that's what I'm saying.
At any point.
Like, it was...
I don't get it, man. I don't get how it's gotten to this point. Like, this is what I say all the time. You've won. All of you, the bleeding hearts that want no contact and no viciousness and no hatred and no rivalries, you won. Yeah. This is just another example. You got it. It'll be European hockey. Let's make the rinks bigger. Let's go no contact. Everyone can wear pennies out there. And
last night would have
because
been.
If this is actually worthy of a conversation, the Sid PK thing, you've won.
You're done. Well, last night,
game's over. It's never going back to the way it was.
I was kind of sad on one front. That game last night would have been a bloodbath if it was 20 years ago. And I kept thinking to myself, like, would have liked to see a little bit of animosity. Like, there's a lot
of
wrestling.
See, I don't like that, Jamie. Whenever I was on a team, we were losing, and guys tried to be a hero, I would always say to them, what are you trying to prove?
Yeah, but...
You don't like it as a player, but as a viewer, maybe I would have stuck around for the third period. Like, if I was checking Twitter and someone said, oh, here we go.
You know what? You want to have a bloodbath in the middle? I always say, I always view it like this, the competition element of it. If you want to be a hero during that time, go ahead. You want to have a big fight. You want to have a big hit. You want to score a big goal. I love that. But once at 5-0, it is over. So you want to go out there and slash somebody across the head or fight somebody?
Well, I don't slash the head, but I would like to send a message.
Really? What are you doing?
Well, would you argue?
No, I just...
We had the conversation the other day about how in the NBA, if they get down late, they're out.
They're done.
Wouldn't you say the Preds, they packed up shop and they quit last night?
That was an NBA game. They tried to be stupid at certain different times, like the cross-check. And
there was a couple things at the end of the... Was it Sissons? And now Sissons is not going to get suspended by player safety.
Well, one thing we've got to talk about is, what about the coach pulling the goaltender? I thought 3 was a little bit early.
Yeah, but I think he sensed that everyone was out to lunch.
As much as the goalie sucked, I'm like, I'll give you 4. 3 is a little bit
much. Here's another thing. The goalie didn't play well. What is the players in front of him doing? What is Austin Watson doing? First of all, why is he on the penalty kill? And then second of all, why is he the only guy trying to block a shot and making road hockey saves? Pekka Rinne doesn't track the first goal because his own idiot player is 10 feet away from him, the only screen in front of him. Then that Irwin Weber pairing, I know that we talk about Nashville's D, the top four, the bottom two, should have worn broomball shoes or taken their gear off after the first period. They were an embarrassment.
Well,
that team was red rotten. I agree. Oh, but I just think Lavi sensed that his team was out to lunch. Matt Murray didn't need a shower last night after the game. I tracked 3 scoring chances. 3.
That was as lopsided of a game. Preds, they wasted their time flying a pit for game 5. They did show up. It was over before the puck even dropped. And especially after they were up 2-0 and then they killed that too many men on the ice penalty, it was done.
Yeah.
Because Nash didn't even have a chance on the too many men penalty. And then when Malkin scored with 11 seconds left on what was a nice setup by Phil and a great effort by Malkin for him to start the play, and that was the water bottle throw too.
Yeah, because what had happened is Ekholm had taken a swipe, I think, at Kunitz.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Sid was pissed off about. Whether he meant to throw it or not, I seriously, like I say, I don't care. It didn't affect the play. It didn't. Why people are so upset about it is because it's Sidney Crosby and they think he gets away with murder. But he doesn't. Just like everyone thinks PK wears a halo out there, he's dirty too.
Oh,
like
PK would get his shots in. But PK would do the same thing to Sid. I'm sure he
was holding on to Sid's stick too. And apparently, if we saw the reverse camera angle, he had Sid's leg.
Sidney Crosby, Jamie doesn't get away with murder, but
he gets some.
I was watching the game last night, and there were some plays where I was like, "How's that not a penalty?" And then I'd look at the bench and Lavi was going nuts.
Yeah.
He doesn't, they don't call it. And I give major props to Jim Rutherford before the series. He had the presser and he said, I got to really find a way to deal with what's going on with Sidney Crosby because it's just, it's not right. Too much traffic, fighting through too much stuff. And all of a sudden, nothing. Like, you just make everybody aware, I'm not happy with this. And I've talked to people that, like, they supervise series, and they say all the time, after every game, get a call from each general manager, I don't like this, I don't like that, I don't like this, and they go back and forth. So that's good. That's good work by Jim Rutherford.
Yeah, it's politics.
He's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. I think that most officials probably allow Sid to get away with more because they know he gets targeted more. And I'm sure there are times if you were to watch from a different viewpoint, like, okay, what kind of heat is he taking as opposed to what is he handing out?
Right.
There'd be a lot of times where you'd say, they didn't call that? Like, the guy just walked up to him and gave him a little spear for the sake of it, and they didn't call it.
Well, think of the bloody murder people were yelling about when Niskanen cross-checked him in the head. Like, that's...
You know, now, that was an extreme example, but I'm talking, like, after a whistle, because
right.
Last night, I think it was PK that had him in a bit of a headlock at one point. One of the defensemen had him in a headlock. It might have been at home. And Sid just got out of it and skated to the bench and said, all right, I'll get you later.
Yeah.
So I think the refs probably take notes and say, listen, man, I gave you one in the second, so he popped you in the head. Take it.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't blame them for that.
Well,
I would do the same thing.
It happens, and, you know, getting back to your original point, like, the game, I thought the big boys showed up. I thought Nashville was brutal. Unfortunately, by the time the third period came around, there was no push. And you were, I think both teams were like, let's just have straight time here. Because Pittsburgh doesn't want to get hurt, and Nashville doesn't want to. Like, Ryan Ellis had a scare. Sounds like he's going to be fine, but, you know, you don't want anybody to get hurt. And it did almost have that parallel of an NBA game, which is actually very, that makes me sad. Because NBA, that's the one thing that I've always, and I've grown to really enjoy the NBA, but the one thing I've really noticed about that sport is when the game's over, like, they're done.
Oh,
like,
man. They're down 20 with 7-8 minutes left. See you later. Take us out.
Like, get out.
And that's exactly what Nash did last night. They said, yeah, get me out of here. Roll the fourth line. Get them some minutes. We're done.
Do you think if Bill Daly walked in the room after the second period and said to Lavi, do you want to just call it and you guys can go home? They would say, yeah.
I would have. Sitting in the studio last too. Night, I would have taken a rain out. Like, out. I would have taken, like, hey.
We're out.
That's an interesting proposition. Like, maybe negotiate that into the new CBA.
Where there's an option where the team, if they're really getting destroyed.
Like a white towel.
Right.
Like, instead of the
they can push a button, like in a reality right. show. It's like, I'm hitting the button. I'm out.
Can you imagine the fan response if they hit the button and everyone said, and there's like a jumbotron, it just says,
game over. Game over.
Have you ever seen, like, in Big Brother where someone finds a secret door and they're in there and they have to decide whether or not they're going to take it or not? That's what it should be. Lavi in, like, a black room and he's just walking around like,
should I hit
the
blowout, button? If there's a blowout, the coach goes into a room where there's different options, like a $4,000 bonus do you want to try to win this game or just go home?
Do you want to hit the button and everyone goes home? And
you were a fan, and you.
And it's
I hit the button.
And it's
as
on
a
the
fan.
Jumbotron. It's on everyone in the building's watching the
waiting
coach
to see.
Deciding.
But,
to see if they're
going to
go home.
And then he
or
just
not.
Goes.
They
we're
edit
done.
It though. They edit it though. So they make it like he puts his hand over it, and then it goes black for like 5 seconds, and then the siren goes off. Like Lavi hit it. We're done. We're out of here after 40. I like that idea.
Dude, it's awesome.
Well, it's a great idea.
Like I say, as a fan, Brian pressed
I
the button
last night.
Night like,
second period, boom, I smoked the button. I said, I'm out of here. I'm watching a show that's 12 years old. Season 2, episode 10.
And you've seen it before.
I've seen them a million times.
What do they call that in Big Brother? The room they go into?
I don't remember. I mean, because sometimes they get in there, remember, and they find it, and there's different clues to get in there, but they have to, like, do they want to take it? Because it could be a bad clue, it could be a good clue. That would be great as well. Where Lavi, it's a gamble. The button, it could mean the game's over. It could mean you have to play a fourth period.
Oh, my God.
Or, like, you add different elements to it. Like, if hilarious. You hit it, maybe it says game 6 is also in pit. Like, there's no guarantees you're going home.
So he bailed out.
Well, no, maybe you hit it and it allows you to leave. Maybe you hit it in game six and seven or in Pitt. I mean, there's this is the kind of stuff that you have to think.
Consequences you could have.
Right, the different consequences.
That's hilarious.
That's how I would run
either
the league.
Either way, it wasn't.
What is the cutoff, though? Four nothing?
5-0.
5-0. That should be, we should do a Jerry's. If it's 5-0, the coach has the option to just say, over.
I'm done.
At
I'm
any
done.
Time during the game. Because sometimes you hit 5-0 with about 12 minutes left, and that the rest of that game is just junk.
And the coach should also have the option to circle one player on his list that he hates that night, and the player becomes exposed.
Right.
Just that
You're
guy.
Out.
Anybody want him, take him.
A bunch of people texting and tweeting in. The room is called Pandora's
Box.
Yes! Pandora's Box.
Yes!
That's really what it is. Lavi goes into Pandora's Box, and he has to decide if he wants to hit the button to leave after 40. I'll bet you I'm not alone, man. I'll bet you a lot of people after 40 said, even after Pitt came out and scored the fourth goal so quickly into the second period, that really was like, yeah, all right, turn the lights out. It's over. Pittsburgh's not going to do anything. And then Phil scores, and it becomes meaningless.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about this the past 2 days, the idea of Phil getting back on the board. He scored, what, the fifth goal? And everyone's like, man, whatever.
He had 3 points. And then Ron Hainsey snowshoes up the ice, beats everyone up the like.
That was actually a great play by Ron Hainsey.
It was an unreal play by Ron Hainsey. He gets out of the way of James Neal and Mike Fisher, and that's how bad you knew the night was going, when those two run into each other, and then jumps up the ice, gives it to Gino, and then says, I'm going to go to the net for a tap-in on the back door. Like, that pass from Crosby to Sheary on the back door early in the second.
Ridiculous.
That was gross.
Sid had himself a great night.
I know. They both were outstanding. Like, that was a game where big boys stepped up for Pitt, and the big boys for Nashville were non-existent.
Non-existent. And now...
And that's the truth.
Pekka-Rinne is going to play in Game 6, clearly, but yeah. I wonder what's going to happen in Game 7 if it gets there.
Well, there's not a chance. You see Saros... Do you think he was unbelievable when he came in?
No, but that's
You're
a tough spot, man.
You're telling me if you were a coach, you would put Saros in?
I wouldn't. I would play Pekka-Rinne, but the guy is 0-6 with like a 500 save percentage.
No, it's terrible. It's
like,
terrible.
It's brutal.
But the thing
in
is,
Pittsburgh.
You got to take your chances. You got to get back to Game 7. I'm not convinced they get back to Game 7.
I'm not sure they do either. I mean, I think they got a shot.
We were talking yesterday how Nash is going to crush them and go back and win the cup, and now we're saying no way they're even going back.
Because these games have been so lopsided, that's why. If that game is 3-2 and Pitt barely wins, I could sit here and say, I see the Preds running off the next two games, or vice versa. But these games are blowouts.
Yeah.
So recency bias is absolutely applicable here. We all come in the next day and say, they just smoked him 6-0.
Yeah. I got to interrupt.
What's going on over there?
Matt sends in a note. You can read this too, Hayes. Mail it in Friday button. Mail it in and not have to do the show, but add another hour the following Monday to Thursday. So we do 4 hours Monday to Thursday.
Wow, that is a spicy meatball.
That is your dream. But then if we get caught in the back end, you got to do a fourth.
So what
hour.
Is the option? You go on Friday and you can hit a button. You don't have to work that Friday.
You we're mail done. It. Like, you press the button right now. And
we're gone.
They go. We're
we
gone.
We just parachute out of the studio. We're out of here.
Or if you.
But if you hit it.
You hit it and they go the wrong way. We're doing 4 hours.
4 to 8 Monday through Thursday next week.
Do I have to work the next Friday, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
You press the button again next Friday.
We just keep doing it. We have 4 days.
I would
four
hit it every
weeks.
Time.
Would you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You'd mail in
the,
that
right
final
now.
Hour
oh, yeah.
anyway. Well, we broke the cardinal rule. You ate before we came on the air again.
No, I've been good, though.
You've been very good, but yesterday you guys strapped on feed bags at 6 o'clock and just
went comatose. No, it was 5 o'clock hour that we ate the Swiss Chalet, and at the 6 o'clock hour we fell asleep on you in
one
second.
The food had nothing to do with me.
It was for me. I'll fully admit it, because I'm usually pretty engaged, and I was fighting a yawn, and I fought out of it. Once it was brought to my attention, I think I fought out of it, but the minute that he asked you if you were tired... That's when you became tired and started yawning.
It was unreal.
Dude, if you don't think the food factored into your reaction yesterday, you are delusional.
It did. I think it factored in because both of us went to town.
Half chicken.
I'll tell you what, this right here is possibly the greatest little box of food
I couldn't believe how much that weighed.
It is.
That's a 7-pound.
So fascinated with that.
Because look at that box.
Like,
dude.
It's like putting in a 5-pound weight into a small box.
Right. I had to call Steph today to talk about like what we're doing today or whatever, and she was like, "Hey, I'm at the mall. Do you want anything?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do." And what is it called? General Chow?
Well, it's called the Thai General Express Tsao. Or whatever it is. But that's
General Chow. Yeah, it's T-S-A-O,
Chow. Isn't it Chow?
It's not Chow. It's not Italian.
Dude, not, it's General Chow's chicken.
It's General Chow's chicken.
I don't think so. I think it's General
But it's spelled
Tsao.
A different way. It's not Sow.
Oh, he said it was Tzow.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, it starts with a T, but I think it's a silent T.
So where does Chow come into it?
I think that's...
That's how you say it.
It's General Chow's chicken.
No, it's not.
I believe
I need
it
a
is.
Button. Get me out of here. Give me 4-hour shows next week. I can't do this today.
By the way, last night I was watching the game at a restaurant near my house, and a guy came up to me, and I thought he was going to say, "Hey, love the show," or something to that effect. He was like, "How's Aloha?" I'm like, "What?"
Your old peeler buddy from Carolina?
Yeah, who got
arrested.
They said
she's in the clink.
Aloha got arrested. I mean, we have some people that can really dig some stories up. And some guy sent me a note last week when we mentioned our friend Aloha.
It was like a prison shot.
It was a mug shot.
It was a mug shot of Aloha.
Her hair was everywhere.
Hey.
She looked
don't
rough.
Talk about her like that.
Aloha has had some difficult years since the old dog left her.
You sent her into
in
a downward spiral.
Well, we had a tough night one night. She wanted to come over to my apartment, and it wasn't happening, and she was causing a disturbance.
Really?
Nongi.
Yeah. She eventually got the weegee, though.
She eventually
we
fought
made
her
friends quickly.
You fought her. She fought her way into the apartment.
She did.
Fought through a tackle.
I appreciated the effort and the passion.
Yeah.
So you said,
good for
all
her.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it was
good for her.
It was Aloha for Jeff.
Well, there was no passion last night.
No, there wasn't.
Although, I'm lying, because Pittsburgh had it. They were,
Pittsburgh was great, and I tweeted that out last night, that the Cup Final has been abysmal, and I believe that. I don't think anything has been memorable. Like, there really hasn't been that much that you can take out of the first six games that you or five games that you say, wow, this is really going to last the test of time. But Pitt put on a clinic.
Yeah,
like, they were thoroughly entertaining, but I if I don't have a dog in the fight, clearly if I'm a Pens fan,
right,
I was entertaining. If I'm a Preds fan, it's interesting because it's my team, but I don't have a dog in the fight. I just want to see entertaining hockey. I don't tune in to see one team perform. I want to see both teams perform. The Jays are on the West Coast in Seattle tonight. Jim Bowden, former MLB GM and MLB Network radio host, will join us in about 10 minutes. Get his take on the series this weekend. Justin Smoak back in Seattle, where he spent a number of years. And Steve Phillips with an interesting piece up on TSN.ca about the black hole that is left field for the Blue Jays right now. What happens going forward and left? We'll get Jim's take on that. Rays coming up. We'll look back on the Cup Final. We'll tee up Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050. Jays in action tonight in Seattle. We'll tee that up with Jim Bowden. Also, David Price picking fights with the media in Boston. Then he got lit up in the Bronx last night.
That's why you don't pick fights.
You can never win that. The media loves it. Like, not all of the media, but there are always media members in every market that can't wait to be a part of the story and can't wait to pick a fight.
Yeah,
they're dying for it,
Brian.
Dying for it.
You told me I was going to be tired from the...
General Tao?
Chow.
Chow. I think it's Tao. I actually am going to side with Brian on this.
I'm not tired, but I got some heartburn.
You're getting a little sweat going.
I'm just telling you.
Was it spicy going down?
I'm just informing you, gentlemen. If I leave without notice, do not ask questions.
We know what's going on.
Are you on TV tonight?
Yeah.
You on TH?
Ooh, dude. That's in 3 hours.
That's going to be just sitting in the boiler. Five pounds of General Tao.
That Geno throw better be straight fire because you could be in big trouble.
What if the camera just pans to you and you have a full glaze on?
You have a Peter Laviolette in the third period on.
A Laviolette in the Pandora's box room.
Just melting down. I'm concerned about you, man.
Me too, buddy. I'm actually into it. I'm energetic today, but...
Let's try to keep that wave humming here, okay?
Yeah.
Jays in action tonight. We'll get into that. Price, the Yankees just smoked Boston 2 games in a row. Are they legitimately going to run away with the American League East? Jim Bowden will join us in 2 minutes. You guys know what happened 18 years ago today?
I do.
What happened?
A certain gentleman put on a mustache and sunglasses and tried to go back in the dark.
Was it Bobby Valentine?
Bobby V was ejected 18 years ago today and decided to make his way back into the dugout wearing a disguise. One of the more iconic pictures in the history of baseball.
Are there any more characters like that in the game that would do that?
I'd like to see Gibbons do it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Gibbons show up tonight wearing a fake mustache, glasses.
Paying homage to him?
Absolutely. Let's bring in former GM in Major League Baseball, currently MLB Network radio host and analyst. Here's Jim Bowden. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great, although bringing up a memory of Bobby Valentine from 18 years ago tells me that's 1999 when the Mets beat us in game 163 with Al Leiter on the mound, so you're not bringing back good memories for me. And number two, John Gibbons? No, I can see him listening to country music with a foot on top of the desk, but no, he's not wearing that kind of mustache, no chance.
What do you say to your manager once you realize that this is happening? I mean... You're obviously watching the screens, and like the GM sits in a box, but if you're watching that, how much are you going to lose it?
I would have been laughing hysterically. I mean, when I saw the video, I was laughing, and that's Bobby V. I mean, that's the first thing I said when I saw the highlights that night. Oh, there goes Bobby V again. You know, I had Bobby actually coach for me in 1994, and he's such a great, big personality in the game, but he also had such great work ethic. He would... be in my office at 9 o'clock in the morning for a night game at 7 o'clock, going and watching video and studying tape. So I've got a lot of respect for Bobby in his prime. I think he was a really good baseball man, had a great sense of humor. And as we watch Brett Gardner tear it up for the Yankees right now, going to break his own personal record for home runs, Bobby V said all along that that power would come for Brett Gardner. He's the only baseball guy that ever came out and told me that he thought Gardner would be a 25 home run hitter in time, and that's certainly what he's doing right now.
Well, how about them Yankees? I mean, they've got 2 out of 3 against the Red Sox in the past 2 games. They absolutely embarrassed Boston. I mean, I keep waiting for the Yankees to maybe come back to earth a little bit. I know it's still only mid-June. There's still 100 games left to be played, but... how do you feel about the Yankees being legit?
No, they're legit. They're the best team in the division, and they're proving that on the field. Look, this is the deepest, strongest division in baseball. That's not debatable. There's not a division that has 5 teams as strong as this. I believe that both wild cards are going to come from the American League East. I think at some point Cleveland's just going to bury Minnesota and Detroit, and that'll be over, and Houston's going to blow everyone else out in the West. So I think there's going to be 3 of the 5 teams in the East that are going to get to the postseason. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this race. I think there's going to be a lot of ups and downs for all the teams in this, but I don't think there's any question that us looking at the Yankees on June 9th, I think after the series with the Red Sox, I don't think there's any doubt that as of this moment, they have been the best team in the East.
So assuming that is the case and 3 teams get in, and let's say the Yankees end up winning the division, how would you handicap the wildcard teams out of the AL East?
I like the Red Sox. I mean, they were my pick before the season started. I'm sticking with it, although I think there's issues here. I think they've got starting pitching issues, and I think they're a bat short, but I like them. And then it gets tricky after that. Now, before the season started, I had picked Boston and Toronto as the 2 teams because I had a lot of confidence in the Blue Jays' rotation, which, as we all know, with Jay Happ's injury, now he's back, but Aaron Sanchez's injury, and we're waiting on him. I mean, you know, certainly it's a kind of a different team here than we expected, but I think it's going to get really close really fast. I love Baltimore's lineup. They're going to score a bunch of runs. Their bullpen's really good, but their starting pitching is going to keep them back to the pack for me. I think Tampa Bay's an underrated team. I think they got a chance to win more than they lose. Their offense is better than it's been ever, and they're going to get Wilson Ramos and Matt Duffy at some point back, which is going to help, but I think the injury to Kevin Kiermaier today is devastating. I talked to Kevin Cash, their manager, earlier today. He told me Kiermaier's out a minimum of 8 weeks. And this is the best defensive center fielder in the game, period. So this is going to be a huge loss for them. And he's an important piece for their pitching staff. And Toronto, you know, look, they're starting to play a little bit better. I know, you know, the last 10 days hasn't been as good as it was in May. But I don't think there's any question that they're going to keep creeping back in this thing. And once they get the starting pitching locked in again, they're going to make it a really nice race. So if I had to predict today, I'm going to go New York, Boston, Toronto, all getting in, Baltimore, and Tampa after that.
With Jim Bowden, former MLB GM and MLB Network radio host and analyst. Jays fans will love hearing that. They're in Seattle starting tonight. But talking about injuries, Devin Travis out again, another knee injury. He's on the DL. This guy has been a Band-Aid, quite frankly, over the past 2 or 3 years. He's been very difficult to rely upon. Has it gotten to a point where the Jays can no longer trust him to really supply production because they can't trust that he'll be healthy enough?
Well, you know, I talked to John Gibbons. I had him on my show earlier today, and I said, is it okay if I call him a human disablist? Is that okay? I mean, and how do you have a contusion or a bruise on the knee in a different spot of the knee? I mean, why does this keep happening? Yeah, it's a concern. It should be a concern, right? When you have this many injuries at this young of an age, certainly in baseball, sometimes you get your injuries early in your career and then you kind of resolve it and you go forward. Sometimes they linger forever. But my biggest concern always is injury-prone players that get injured before their prime, before they get there, and they continue to have injuries. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a red flag. The problem is I really like Devin Travis, and I really think he's going to hit. And I really think, he can be a 15, 20 home run second baseman. This is just really, really disappointing, and it's tough to handle. And I think what Toronto's going to have to do is similar to what, you know, the model has been for the Cubs, the Dodgers, most recently Tampa, give them credit for that, is you got to build enough depth and prepare for injuries. So you can't go into the season and say, okay, we're going to be fine with Travis if he's healthy, and Goins' defense will go in when he's not. I don't think you can do that anymore. I think you're going to have to figure out, like the Red Sox have a Brock Holt as an example, I think you're going to have to build enough depth to prepare to have two guys to play second base if he's going to continue to be injured like this, not just one guy.
Well, and I think that conversation applies to left field for the Jays, and Steve Phillips has a great piece up on TSN.ca just exposing the issues that this team has had, both offensively and defensively. Combined, it's probably been the worst left field in the American League, or real close to it. Steve Pierce, he's had injury problems, and obviously that is factored in. But even with that said, I mean, when they signed him, he's a utility guy to begin with. He's not an everyday ball player. How do you expect the Jays to approach the issue in left field?
I think you got to go make a statement. I mean, I think you call the Tigers and see what they want for J.D. Martinez. I think you call the Marlins, you see what they want for Marcelo Ozuna. You call the Mets and you see what they want for Jay Bruce. And I think you pound the phone and you get an answer here. I mean, look, a lot of things have gone right. Justin Smoke. I mean, who would have thought Justin Smoke would be hitting 290 with 17 homers and 42 RBIs? Neither of you guys.
No.
Not me. Not John Gibbons. Not even Mark Shapiro, who gave him the $8 million. Nobody expected this. But this is a good thing. Kenneth Morales has been really good for the most part. 11 homers, 31 RBI, certainly not a great on-base percentage. But Tulo is not doing what Tulo can do. Martin doesn't look like he's going to do what he's going to do. And so you look at this team, and you can't ask J.D., you can't ask Josh Donaldson to do everything. So you need another bat. And I think J.D. Martinez would be a perfect fit. Where are the Tigers going? J.D. is a free agent at the end of the year. The Tigers are only going to get a fourth-round pick for him because they're in the luxury tax, so you're not going to get good compensation. I think he'd be a nice fit here. Now, if you want to give up more instead of a rental and go get a longer-term answer, I think Marcell Ozuna of the Marlins is a really good choice. I get to see him a lot. What's impressed me is he hits good pitching. This is not just a tools guy anymore. This is a guy that can hit the breaking ball down and away, he can turn an inside fastball, and he can hit good pitchers good pitches. So I think that would be an answer. But, yeah, I agree with Steve Phillips 100%. They need another bat, and you might as well put it in left field, because as much as I like Carrera, he's a fourth or fifth outfielder. As much as I like Pierce, he's a backup first baseman and a fourth or fifth outfielder. So this is a no-brainer for me. Steve Phillips is absolutely right. He's nailed it.
Great stuff, as always. Thank you for doing this, Jim.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Jim Bowden, former MLB GM, MLB Network radio host and analyst.
I like that guy. He's fired up.
He is.
And I like how he'll mention names, too. He's like, go out and pound the phones and get some answers on some players.
This guy. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
One guy you mentioned, though, and I don't think I've ever in Toronto sports had a varying opinion on a guy than I do about Tulo. It's like, you want to go game by game and loving and kind of not loving a guy? I kind of have a love-hate thing going on with this guy.
It's, really?
It's and you like know sometimes you're like, are you aging? Are you... You're great defensively. I love what you do with your glove, but...
Does he leave you wanting more?
Even
I
that...
I don't know. It's just... I guess it's not the Tulo at the plate that I watched for so many years in Colorado.
He was money. He was the best shortstop in baseball. Yeah. His numbers were spectacular. Right. He had a 5 to 7 year run that was legitimately Hall of Fame-esque. And his price tag comes up a lot. He's getting paid $20 million. So with that, you expect a lot more. I think the bigger concern now, and it may just be a one-off, it may just be fluky, maybe it's because of the injury issues, but defensively he's had some issues this year. He's already racking up a lot of errors, and this guy was error-proof, man.
Yeah.
He was as money defensively as you could find, and now all of a sudden he's starting to stumble a little bit defensively, and to your point at the plate, he's just never going to return to what he was. He was a guy that would absolutely terrorize opponents, and he's just further down the lineup, hitting sixth, hitting seventh.
Right.
One of the guys, and I'm not expecting him to break through.
Which is nuts. I say it sometimes. I'm like, I'd rather see Ryan Goins play there than him. If he's going to do that. For
Goins,
$20 million?
For $20 million. Goins, statistically, has been exceeding expectations across the board this year. But you also have to be realistic in terms of when that's going to come to an end.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you know? At some point.
And once again, it goes back to another topic, like Maple Leaf players, hockey players in the city. You know, we talked about Dion the scrutiny and Phil the scrutiny. This guy makes $20 million. How many scathing articles have you ever seen about Tulo?
I think because of the legendary status, because he was traded for...
It's not right.
No, he's got to be a lot... Like, for that kind of money, and I think he's 31. It's not like he's 40 or something like that. There's no reason why you can't expect Tulowitzki.
There'll be a full-page article on the sixth defenseman of the Toronto Maple Leafs, how garbage and brutal they are. This guy's making 20 sheets.
I believe he's the highest-paid player on the team.
It's crazy. But, I mean, that speaks to...
Where's the articles?
But it speaks to the popularity. I know the Jays are popular, but the Leafs are more popular.
And
that's
look,
just
I
the
was
truth.
An athlete, too, and I don't like your family's got to read it, and everybody's got to read it. It's not nice, but let's be real here. 20 sheets?
Listen, you expect him to be one of the best players on the team day in, day out. And consistently, that hasn't happened since he got here.
Yeah, you're right.
Rays coming up. We'll look back on Game 5 of the Cup Final, start teeing up Game 6, tee up Game 4 of the NBA Finals as well, and future headlines coming up at 6:30. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
Some guy sent me a tweet saying he switched his work hours. So he works 4 days a week, 10 hours, and then he gets the Friday off. I mean, this guy's onto something. He's really onto something.
I had a job like that in university, like
here?
A summer one.
You want to do four-hour shifts and get Fridays off?
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Me too.
But
I might do five-hour shifts.
4 days a week, five-hour show? That would actually be more material, technically. That would put us on the air for 20 hours. Right now, we're only on for 15.
We need a meeting.
All right, let's set something up.
Would you honestly be in for it?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I would be in for. TSN will likely make that decision, but I've done that before. I've worked the old four-day long shift, but the three-day weekend is a thing of beauty.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
I love a three-day weekend.
Oh, my God, not more than me.
Yes, I'll bet you.
No way.
I'll guarantee it. All right, Rays coming up. We'll look back on the game last night, tee up Game 6 in Nashville, and look ahead to Game 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. Hour 2 up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.